page 1051, Luke's Gospel and chapter 18. And I'm going to read those first 8 verses. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Amen. So we're going to be reflecting today for the next few minutes on the theme of prayer and just an attitude of thankfulness to God for the fact that we can pray and the fact that God answers prayer. And I say this most sincerely, that I would guess that we would not be here, any of us, if it were not for prayer. And I mean that in terms of a church, in terms of a community of those who seek to follow Jesus. We are where we are because we have prayed and God has answered prayer. Or we have prayed and it feels as though God hasn't answered the prayer, so we pray again. And we pray more intensely and more fervently. And we repeat our prayers. And a bit like the widow, we continue praying because we want God to direct us in his way and to bring honor to his name. So as a community, we get to where we are ultimately because God has guided us. And along the way, there may be many disappointments. And in my own experience, many of the disappointments are because I had my heart set on a different path. I had my heart set somewhere else. And I'm disappointed when it doesn't turn out. And then, a bit like I mentioned earlier, you know, I realized that my best plan was God's plan B. Or maybe it was plan C or D or something. And God says, "No, I've got plan A for you. Just trust and wait for me." But also, as individuals, so many of us, we tell the stories of how we have prayed and God has answered prayer. And sometimes, at some periods in our lives, that feels like it's been on a daily basis where we've experienced the presence of God. We've experienced God answering prayers. Other times, we've just prayed and we've known the presence of God in a general sense. But very much, we are where we are because we have prayed. And we are thankful to God for that. Well, in terms of prayer, a simple question to ask, well, what is prayer? What happens when we pray? And then a second question is, how can we pray? Now, you know, for fear today of telling you all how to pray, you know, you can teach me. I could turn this around, couldn't I? You know, I could just hand you the microphone and say, "Well, how do you pray?" And we just encourage each other with that. But I recognize there is another question here that I haven't put up on the screen, which is, why pray? Why pray at all? Not simply, what is prayer? Not simply asking, how can we pray? What are the many different ways in which we can pray? But I suppose a deeper question is, why pray at all? But that arises out of the what is prayer question. So, coming to this first question, what is prayer? The first answer I want to give is that prayer is about relationship and connection. Whenever we pray, sometimes we pray vocally, we speak out our prayers, sometimes people write down that prayer, their prayers. That has been an experience of mine from time to time, where rather than speaking my prayers to God, I've simply written them, almost a dear God idea, you know, writing out my prayers. Sometimes our prayers are not uttered at all, but they are like groans from my deep within me, from my heart. Sometimes I sing my prayers. But every time we pray, and in whatever way we pray, prayer is about relationship and connection. Because when we pray, we say, I am not alone. That's what we're acknowledging in a deep and profound sense. I'm not alone, because we reach out to somebody else. And as we reach out to God in our prayers, whatever we say and however we communicate our prayers, we reach out to one who is connected in relationship, not just to me, but to many hundreds, thousands, millions of people. And he has proved faithful in relationship and trust to many hundreds, thousands, millions of people. And so when we pray, what we are doing is connecting in relationship. We're acknowledging we're not alone, and it's not all about me, but it is about relationship with God and also relationship with others. Now, I recognize that sometimes we can think of prayer as, well, it's just me and God, you know? And we can sneak away into a corner and think, well, I'm just praying and it's just me and God, nobody else can hear, and it's just, you know, very private. But when I pray and I acknowledge my relationship with God and my connection with God, as I mentioned a moment ago, God is relating to you and connected to you and related to you and connected to you. And so I am acknowledging, as I pray, I'm acknowledging not just my relationship with God, but I'm acknowledging my relationship with you. And I'm not alone, not just in terms of I'm not alone because God is with me, but I'm not alone because I am also related to all these other people that know God and are also praying. So what is prayer? It is this wonderful, amazing relationship that we have with God and connection with all others who also pray. And I think that's what prayer is about. Prayer is about participation. Prayer is about participation. Why do we pray? We pray in order to participate in what God is doing. That's why we pray. You might be thinking, really? Do we do that? I think we do. See, God's plan, God's action throughout history, three key things that I've mentioned before. God always acts in love. God acts in love because God is love. Everything that God does is love. God cannot do anything that's not love. Sometimes we say, God can do anything, absolutely anything. And of course, that's not true. It is not true that God can literally do anything, because God cannot not love. So he can't do that. He has to love. Everything God does is love. And so that's the first of the big things that God does throughout history, throughout time. God acts in love because God is love. Now, the purpose of acting in love towards all of creation is because there's a goal of God's acting. And you have to actually get right to the end of Revelation. When was the last time you read Revelation? You know, it's a confession. I have never preached all the way through Revelation. You know, I've preached the first three chapters, I think. You know that nice little bit at the beginning of Revelation where there's visions of Jesus and all this kind of thing. And then there's some letters that are written to the churches or to the angels of the churches, seven churches and so on. And then I kind of go, I'll give it a pause, you know. I have no idea what the, you know, just read it and see. But at the end of Revelation, it is a picture of God descending from heaven. You know, I was brought up with this idea that our purpose is one day to leave the earth and go to heaven. You know, that's not what Revelation says. Revelation says, no, you're not going to leave. God's going to come from heaven and come to earth. And the God will dwell upon the earth and there will be peace everywhere. And the gates of the city of God will never be closed because there will be no one against the city. There will be no need to close the gates. The gates will always be open and there will be trees and there will be fruit for everyone to heal and to bless. And there will be a river flowing of life through that city. And that's the vision at the end. So God acts in love because he is love, but his purpose, his goal is peace. Is to bring a place of peace so that you and I and all of creation can dwell in peace as God always intended. And so those are the two extremes, if you like. And everything God is doing is working in love to create peace. He doesn't leave it till the end of time, as it were, to create this beautiful place of peace. He's always working peace to do that. But we know, you haven't got to look very far and you realise, well, how far off is peace, really? Just watch the news. See the newspapers. Listen to the radio. And you think, crikey, it's a nice idea that God acts in love and his goal is peace. Whether, as we mentioned earlier, whether it's Israel, Gaza, or Ukraine, or Yemen, or Syria, or Congo, or, you know, the South America, the gang violence, or the gun violence in the United States, and the, you just think, how far away is peace? Something needs to happen between love and peace and what God is working and calls us to work with is justice. God works justice so that there can be peace. Because sometimes we think, well, I can, you know, I never did this, he said. But, you know, if you've ever had kids, have you ever been tempted to tape their mouths shut? Yeah, you have, haven't you? You know, I've never done it, of course. But you see, one way to create peace is to just tape a child's mouth shut, you know, or shut them away, ignore them. But you see, the difficulty with that is whatever the child was crying about isn't resolved. You've created peace, but you haven't resolved what they were crying about. And so that is true as well in terms of God, what God is doing in terms of acting in love towards peace. God could just impose peace. He could silence everyone. He could, as it were, put that metaphysical tape across everybody's mouths. He could just tape us down so that we couldn't fight. We couldn't have conflict. But it wouldn't resolve anything. And so what God has to do is work for justice. Pointing out, where are things wrong? Why is there conflict? There's conflict because people are rising up against injustice. What they see is wrong. And so there needs to be all sorts of different changes that needs to be made to make things right. And when people know that justice has been done, that's when they're at peace, because they know there's equity for all. when the hungry are fed, when the homeless are given a shelter, when the naked are clothed, and when there's justice. And this is God's, as it were, big plan. Love, aiming for peace, but he has to work justice. And when we pray, it doesn't matter what our prayer is, it's about participation. It's us responding, whether we knew it or not, we are responding to God's invitation. God saying, I'm working in love towards peace. In the meantime, in order to get peace, I have to work justice. I have to put stuff right. Whether that's an individual person, or whether that's in a community or in a nation. And when we pray, we are responding to God's innate kind of invitation to us to participate in that love, justice towards peace. So we pray about a problem. Why do we pray about a problem? Because it's not right. We want it to be resolved. We pray about somebody who's not well. Why do we pray about that? Because within us we say, it's not right. It's not right that they're suffering like that. We pray about all sorts of things. Pray today about war and conflict. Why do we do it? Because we know there's a better way. That's what God is saying. There is a better way. So when we pray, not only are we acknowledging we have a relationship with God and a connection to God and with all others, but we're also responding to a profound sense within us of participating, of that invitation to participate in what God is doing. And it's a big picture. And today you might think, that's too big for me to think about. And that's fine. But that's what we are doing. We're responding to that invitation to participate in what God is doing. And then this third thing is prayer is active. Prayer is active. What do I mean by that? Prayer is active. I love the story, and I've told it numerous times in the Gospels, where we have Jesus, and Jesus is pictured as being really busy. Jesus has been, I don't know whether he was cornered, but he was approached by a man who was significant in the community who said to Jesus, my daughter is dying. Come to my home right now. Help me and help my daughter. Heal my daughter before she dies. Don't mess about between here and there. It's urgent. And so Jesus begins to make his way. But you'll remember that on that journey, as there are crowds of people apparently all around Jesus, there was a woman, and I don't know why, but I've always imagined that woman to not be a tall woman, but just to be quite short. And we're told that for 12 years this woman had suffered from menstrual bleeding. And there was nothing she could do and nothing the doctors could do for her to help. We're told that she'd spent all her money and she'd really given up hope. And she would live with this. And you can imagine if that had been going on for 12 years, what state her body must have been in. But as Jesus passed by, she had a prayer. She had a prayer, if only, if only. Have you ever prayed that prayer? If only things were different. If only there was peace. If only there was healing. If only there was an answer. If only things could be different. That's such a powerful prayer. And that woman prayed, If only I could reach out, and maybe this is why I think she's short, because we're told she reached out. She was thought, if only I could touch the hem of the garment that Jesus was wearing. So she must have been down low somewhere. If only I could do that, maybe then. And there is a prayer that we have there. If only I could reach out and touch. But then what happens is the woman doesn't just pray the prayer. If only I could do this. What happens is she reached out and she touched the hem of the garment. And in that instant, power flows from Jesus into that woman and she's instantaneously healed. And Jesus knows, of course, and seeks to bless her and to say, it's okay. Prayer is active where we can be active. We pray for peace. But I feel sometimes like our prayers for peace are only half a prayer. I don't know, is that possible to have a half a prayer? You know, I feel like sometimes a prayer for peace is only half a prayer because the question then is, well, what can I do to answer this prayer? We pray for the homeless. And it's good to pray for the homeless that they will have a shelter where they can be warm through the winter months. We pray for the hungry who haven't got enough food. We pray for those who are sick and ill and lonely. And so often our prayers, I wonder, are only part of a prayer. Because to be a full prayer, because we're participating in what God is doing, is to say, what can I do? What can I do? And whether it is, you know, putting a box together, you know, or giving food to the hungry, shelter to the homeless, you know, talking to my daughter yesterday, and she and Isaac and a couple of friends live in a flat, in an apartment in London, in Whitechapel. And they live a few floors up in a block. And one of Zoe's friends was coming home from, I think she was coming home from work rather than a night out. But when she got to her front door, she opened the door and dropped her keys. And as it's a very heavy door to the street, and as she wedged herself in the drawer in order to search around for her keys, she realized there were two homeless people who'd found their way in just in the corner. And immediately they responded to her and said, we're not here, we're not causing trouble, we don't want to cause trouble, we just, you know, it's freezing out there. And this lady said, it's okay, it's okay. She went up and told Zoe, and immediately between them, what did they do? They went into the kitchen, they found food. They went to their bedroom, they found a blanket. And Zoe filled a hot water bottle and took it down and said, here you are. And that was they were praying. They were answering their own heart's cry. If only life could be different for them. And that's so often true for us. What is prayer? It is about relationship and connection. That's what we're doing when we pray. It is about participation in all that God is doing. Love moving through justice in order to create peace. And then it is also about being active. What can I do? We say to people, how can I pray for you? Sometimes there's something we can do to make a difference and to answer our prayers. So that's what is prayer. Very quickly, Jesus and prayer, let me throw up six different things. Jesus and prayer, among baptism, challenge, decisions, ego, and Father. What am I going to say about all of these? You know, Jesus and prayer, we see Jesus praying among people. John's Gospel, chapter 17, Jesus among his disciples prays. And there's a sense in which the benefit of his prayer is not just praying, you know, for him praying, but it's that they might hear what he's saying. And there's great benefit when we gather together with others and we pray amongst others. There is blessing and encouragement amongst others. Now, for that A, did you see it was A, B, C, D, E? Yeah. For that A, it could equally have been alone, because that's something Jesus actually did. And I think it was fundamental to his life that Jesus prayed alone. Now, sometimes we read, Jesus clearly was busy sometimes. And so we're told, I think it's Mark's Gospel, is it chapter 2, something like that, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus gets up and goes to pray. And people say, I haven't got time to pray. Okay, fine. There's plenty of time in the day to pray. We can, as I say, we can always find time to do the things we really want to do. And that's true. We always find time to do the things we want to do. And so Jesus prayed alone, but he also prayed among people. We see Jesus praying as he comes to baptism. He comes out of the water having been baptized by John the Baptist. And as he comes up out of the water, he's praying and heaven is opened at this significant moment as he meets, as it were, in baptism, the very presence of his Father. Jesus prays at times of challenge. We read that Jesus is sent into the desert by the Holy Spirit, where he is tempted, he is tested for 40 days. And during that time, what does Jesus do? Not only does he fast, but he prays. And when we are going through challenging times, an obvious, simple thing that we can do is to pray. And sometimes in those challenging situations, we don't know the words to pray. We don't know, because I know sometimes when we pray, we want to pray in the right way. But sometimes we don't know how to pray in the right way. We don't know what the answer is going to be. But we're just opening our hearts to God. And Jesus prayed through that time of challenge. Or we could go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is with his disciples, and they're sitting and then falling asleep just over there. But over here, Jesus is on his knees, pouring his heart out to his Father in prayer as he faces a challenge. Jesus prayed when there were decisions to make. Classically, when Jesus is about to decide, who are going to be those who I will gather particularly to myself, the 12 disciples who will follow me, see my example, see my lifestyle, hear my teaching close up. They will know who I am and what I am like. Before he made that decision, we're told he spent the whole night in prayer. And then ego. Jesus has spent all night praying. And then he, on this particular occasion, he comes and says to his disciples, who do people say I am? Have you ever asked somebody that? Have you ever said, who do the neighbours say that I am? Who do your friends? And of course, we want our ego to be stroked. You know, oh, good person. They like you, you know, whatever. You know, and they say, oh, well, they think perhaps you're like John the Baptist, perhaps a prophet, perhaps Elijah come back. You know. And it's so important when we are hearing what other people think, when our ego can either be bruised or stroked, it's so important that we are people of prayer, with our eyes fixed upon Jesus. And then prayer in terms of Father. Jesus teaches us to pray, Father. Jesus prays because God is his Father, and he needs to know and be reminded that God is his Father. And there are many other examples we could go on in terms of the example, the lifestyle of Jesus. Throughout his life, there is this thread, this web of prayer, seemingly all the time. He is praying. He has a heart and a life that is open to this relationship with God, because he knows he's related to God, connected to all the people. He is participating in what God is doing, and Jesus makes sure that his prayers are not half a prayer, but they are active, and he does what needs to be done. So what is prayer? Well, you know, just, you know this kind of thing, don't you? You know, prayer is listening sometimes. Prayer is speaking sometimes. Prayer is silence sometimes. I love the story of Mother Teresa when she was once asked by a journalist, "What do you do when you pray?" And she replied, "Nothing. I just listen." And the journalist responded, "You listen. So what does God say? Or what does God do in prayer?" "Nothing. He just listens." And I love that. You have to think about it. And then Mother Teresa actually said, "If you don't understand that, I can't explain it to you." Silence in prayer. Stillness. Psalm 46 that Phil read to us earlier is a psalm about clamoring and battle and conflict, and then be still. Be still. And it's in the stillness we remember and we know that God is God. And we are not beyond him, and nothing we're experiencing is beyond God. What is prayer? Sometimes it's just being. Just being. Sometimes it is doing. Prayer is a whole host of different things. But it's all about participating in that relationship with God and all that God is doing. So again, very quickly, how can we pray? My encouragement always is to be intentional in our prayers. We pray because that's what we intend to do. We set an agenda, we have a routine, and that's what I've always found to be helpful myself, is to have a routine for prayer. Whether that's every day, or every 2 days, or morning, or evening, or at lunchtime, you know, when you make your coffee, that's often a good prompt. Every time I have a cup of tea, every time I make myself a coffee, I'm going to pray. You know? And you can put up a list right next to your kettle or your coffee machine or whatever. But you have a routine. Sometimes our prayers are in church. Maybe that's what we limit it to. I hope not, but maybe it is. Sometimes our prayers are together. Sometimes we pray on the basis of plans. So many of you take the word for today. You know, somebody else was saying to me the other week that they use Scripture Union notes. Somebody else was saying they use an app on the phone called Lectio 365. Have you heard of that? No? It's a good one. But you're sent a prompt every day to pray. So there's a Bible reading there and you can listen to it as well. Sometimes our prayers are plans that we follow. Sometimes they are informal. All sorts of ways we pray. Sometimes we pray using the Bible. So we have a passage of the Bible that we read, and then we pause and think, well, how can I pray? How is this passage from the Bible that I've read prompting me to pray? What questions is it causing me to ask? How do I respond in love and justice so that there might be peace? Sometimes we pray by writing our prayers. If you get stuck in your prayer life, then I do encourage you to write your prayers. And the great thing about writing prayers, if you've ever done this, is you might start off with nothing to say. So you say, "Dear God, I've got nothing to say to you today. My day's been really mundane. I really struggled to pray. You know, I think I should pray, but I'm really struggling to pray." And then you find yourself, wow, you've written a whole paragraph, you know, but you're just talking, and it just helps people. Some people, I think Louise, you mentioned about journaling. Was it? Yeah, about journaling and writing down and that being part of our prayer practice as writing. Meditation, that's taking part of the Bible and just pausing with it. And I often say a great place to start with this is Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." And we just let the words of the Bible, just a phrase, sit with us. And we just imbibe the goodness of God's word. Sometimes we pray watching the news. What are you like when you watch the news or listen to the news? You know, it's not a pleasant experience most of the time these days. But you can do it in a deliberate way, where you turn on the news and think, okay, I'm going to pray my way through the news. Or you have a newspaper and you're going to pray your way through all the headlines. ACTS, do you know what that stands for? A is for adoration. C is for confession. T is for thanksgiving. S is for supplication. Isn't that a great word? We should say that more. Supplication. We're asking for things. So, and that can be your habit. Say, you're boiling your kettle, your cup of tea or coffee or whatever it is, your routine, morning, evening, wherever you think, right, ACTS, acts, okay, adoration. Thank you, God, that you're God and that you're beautiful. You're all I need you to be. You answer my prayers. Thank you for being faithful. Confession, Father, I'm not all I should be. I want to be. I want to be more, but I confess I haven't helped as I should have. I haven't answered the second part of my prayer. You know, I haven't done the active bit, or whatever it is. That's our confession. Thanksgiving. But thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Thank you that you've answered this prayer. Thank you that you've done this and so on. And then supplication, that's asking. And that's where we work through, well, I know this person's ill. I know this person's low. I know. And we pray for those people. And then that final thing, practical. Prayer must be practical. Seems if all our prayers are just between me and God, and that's it. Okay, fine. But really, we need to be those who engage in the life of God and what God is doing. And we need to be those who pray and then do and pray and do and pray and do. So it needs to be practical as well. I realize I've thrown out a whole load of stuff there. If you've got questions, then please do come and ask me or email me on that. But I trust that there might be little seeds there that will encourage us in our prayers. Let's pause and let's pray together. Father, thank you for prayer. Thank you for the gift of prayer. Father, thank you that prayer makes us more complete. Father, thank you that when we pray, we are being more the people you have made us to be. And we thank you for that. Father, we pray for your encouragement to pray. Father, help us with simple steps as we go from here, as we have our week, like any other week. You would help us to take the simple, straightforward steps to pray by ourselves and with others, to be practical in our praying, to find a way whereby we can pray. May your blessing rest on us and help us in this. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.